Hey gang, welcome back. We're going to conclude the worst of 2019. We hope you enjoyed the main episode where we powered through 30 some odd posts. I don't know. There's a lot of bad posts this year. Many of them submitted by you, our wonderful, lovely patrons.
Yes.
And we have in our hands right now even more. And we're going to read the hell out of them right now.
Yeah.
We're going to start with an old favorite of the show and someone who I still don't really know what she is about. I know that I don't follow her, but I'm MUFOs with several people who do, and I don't know. It's one of those where I think some people are following her ironically.
Yes.
But I think some people think she's makes good points. We're talking about who?
Amy Therese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
get a lot of like stay at home mom vibes from her.
Yes. I don't know. I've seen pictures of her, and I'm not sure what age we're dealing with here.
No.
She's got some people describe her as looking like a witch, which I think is, we've talked about witches a lot this week already. She's an odd gal. She has opinions, She's one of these, big time opinion havers.
Yeah.
And sometimes those opinions, take an odd turn. So. Take it away.
For example?
Yes.
So she posted this earlier this year. All right, let me here. Liberals insist that a child like Greta Thunberg has the autonomy or agency to tour the world agitating for political change. I don't see how they can argue that 12-year-olds are politically mature, yet at the same time lack the capability to meaningful consent to sexual activity.
Yeah. Yeah. Very common thing online. For a child, if they can give you an opinion, they can also be fucked, which I find to be possibly not related. Possibly not.
Yeah, it seems that they'd be completely unrelated, you would think. But she wasn't the only person that I saw post stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't have another tweet.
Oh, you said it like you were leading into more.
No, but she's...
Well, we've seen, like, in our libertarian episode, we saw very similar things.
Yes, sure.
But that at least, that's more logically consistent
with their than, beliefs.
I guess so.
Sure.
Whatever she's saying. Well, you know, libertarian's whole thing is like, the less laws and rules, the better. Which she's, you know, so you can say that it makes sense that age of consent shouldn't exist for whatever reason. But with her, I'm not sure why she's doing that, except probably just to piss off people and get read on podcasts. So
probably.
It's probably just that, right?
Does she have a Patreon?
Yeah. Yeah, if she has a Patreon, guys, unsubscribe to this one and give her your money. Because she's a much better poster than we are, based off that alone. User @KidLicky said this on Twitter. I want you to keep in mind that this is everything in this is in caps. Nobody move. Nobody fucking move. You know how Indiana Jones isn't Indiana Jones' real name and that his dad calls him Junior and refuses to call him Indiana and he doesn't like being called Junior because he associates it with his childhood? Indiana Jones is trans.
That.
Yep.
That quite literally knocked the hat off my head when I read that one, which never happens.
Yeah.
Boy.
It's almost, it's over the top Twitter and or Tumblr type post, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. This seems like, based upon the person's profile, because I remember seeing this, this seems like one of those like refugee Tumblr people that when sure. they cracked down, all the perverts yeah. came over to Twitter.
Yeah.
Definitely had that kind of vibe.
Well, it's one of those where the thing about like, especially in fiction, every fictional character, their whole arc is like overcoming trauma to become, you know,
the journey of the hero. Yeah.
So you can easily manipulate any character to like, oh, they're trans. Like you can, like, oh, they're dealing with all these issues and they don't know how to deal with it, so they take on this new journey. That means they're becoming trans. Yeah, Hellboy. Now Hellboy, but had the horns. And was cut off.
It's say you're saying. You know what? Not wrong. Not wrong.
I'm actually, I think I have a thread brewing in me. I get started on that.
One of question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a Facebook post. It's actually from a girl I went to college with.
Oh, great.
So,
really? Okay.
Yeah. This is another one of those great personal ones I found. Serious question and answers, please. All caps. Non-black people, if you're singing a rap song with the N-word, do you say it or pass over it or what? In all seriousness, when I'm singing, I say every line because I figure it's just part of someone else's masterpiece.
Yeah.
Answers, please.
Why? Why are you asking that?
She lives in Central Ohio.
Hmm. Okay.
She is probably the whitest person I've ever seen in my life.
Why are you asking? And then why are you telling on yourself? Second.
Yeah, I say the N-word.
Well, yeah, I say the N-word because it's for the artists.
I don't want to disrespect.
To me, I go the extra step and I just put the N-word in like Black Sabbath songs when I'm listening. just Fairies Wear Boots? Well, I have a different word for that song. I don't think you're aware of the Black Sabbath canon, are you?
Which one's that?
Fairies Wear Boots.
No.
Okay, so in this joke, I'm replacing the word fairies with a different word.
Okay, now I get it.
And replace boots with Tim's.
So glad it's behind a paywall.
So Dana Schwartz, who I did not go to school with, she's a regular guest of podcasts in the Crooked Media universe.
Okay.
And she's the author of three books, including one called The White Man's Guide to White Male Writers of the Western Canon.
Okay.
She wrote this tweet. Just saw Blade Runner for the first time, and it's great, but Harrison Ford is the villain, yeah? Like, it's about four slaves who escape and come to Earth as fugitives just for the chance to stave off death, and this random hot cop is on their tails murdering them.
Yeah.
And then after that, she added, why are we supposed to like Harrison Ford in this movie aside from the fact that he's Harrison Ford? I don't get it.
Yeah.
So this lady's slowly figuring out that movies are fiction and that certain characters aren't just supposed to be the most likable thing. They're supposed to have depth and layers. And
I just, it's
like, it's sort of the point of the movie,
right?
That he's.
And that, I remember this one too, because I remember the responses of like, you do understand like what the movie is saying, right? And she's like, nope.
I don't, and I refuse to. Yeah, this is coming more and more common. First of all, just the idea of litigating a 37-year-old movie or whatever on these terms is just so fucking stupid.
Doing the whole woke, trying to like reimagine stuff through like the woke filter for things like that. So bizarre to me. Like,
yeah. That's just that whole thing is so common on Twitter where, yeah, people feel the need to revisit these old movies and then like put a fresh spin on it. But the idea of like this person's fresh spin is that he was not a likable guy. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Oh,
everyone rethinks. Oh, wow. I thought he was a nice guy.
Somebody's like, Inspector Clouseau is problematic.
Yeah.
Thread one.
Yeah.
That's a good bit too. God.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do it with stuff like that, you know? Citizen Kane? He was a billionaire.
Yeah. Guillotine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I have an answer for you, Mr. K. Instead of saying Rosebud, say guillotine. How about that?
Oh, no, she twin. all right. So Vermont Governor Bernie Sanders tweeted this. My father's whole family was wiped out by Hitler's white nationalism.
Uh-huh.
We will go to war against white nationalism and racism in every aspect of our country.
Seems like a pretty... There's no reason why that should be a worst tweet of the year.
Well...
Oh, okay.
Twitter user Matthew Split took issue with this and said, Hey, moron, quit lying. Hitler was not a white nationalist. He killed millions of white people. He never once proclaimed whites are superior. He believed in Aryan German supremacy.
Boy, second buddy. Second tweet that has to do with someone technically clarifying Hitler's views.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole Aryan thing was a pure white bloodline
thing. White thing, okay. Yeah. When he likes Aryan Germans, he's not talking about theoretical black German. He's talking about white Germans, very white German people. So, yeah. Hey, moron.
Hey, asshole.
Hey, you fucking idiot. Hitler wasn't a white nationalist. What are you arguing? At the very least, just be like, hey, I want to expand on what you're saying a little bit more. You know, maybe he's not, I wouldn't say he's technically a white nationalist, and then explain it, but when you start off with saying, hey, you fucking idiot, yeah. Hitler wasn't a white nationalist.
Hey, asshole. Hey, by the way, love your policies. Hope you win.
Heather Lindsaygen on Twitter said this, and this is related to Marie Kondo, who we talked about in the main episode. Someone else on here said that if Marie Kondo was a white guy who was co-opting an East Asian philosophy, then they would have endless followers breathlessly extolling the virtues of their organization system instead of debate. This is now the only thing I'm sure of in the world. Like, I wish haters would just admit Kondo doesn't look like the Western idea of what a lifestyle guru should look and act like and leave it at that. So, again, blink if you miss it. There was actually a debate about Marie Kondo on Twitter for 6 hours in, like, February or something like that. In retrospect, it's funny to look at this and be like, to think that anyone actually had any issue with her, because Marie Kondo is, like, she's wealthy off of this thing that she has. And no one else really is. And so are the idea that, oh, if she was a white guy, they would be even more successful and wealthy. It's like, well, this is based on what?
That's the whole thing of, like, it's like stirring the pot that nobody's...
Yeah.
Starting the argument that nobody's having, right?
Well, because, well, again, for like 6 hours on like February 8th, there was people who had Marie Kondo saturation.
Yeah.
Because she was all over. She was the main thing on Netflix, trending on Twitter, and people were just like, so this broad just telling you to
throw your shit away.
Like, who cares? And so this lady saw that as like, oh, you hate Asians or whatever. Whereas it doesn't. You see too much of anything, like I had a controversial tweet today about Uncut Gems.
People were shocked.
I'm over it. I'm sure it's a fine movie, but I've seen so many fucking ads for that movie online. It's crazy. So many ads on Twitter, Instagram story ads, promoted posts. People talk about how great this movie is, which is, I've never seen this many for like what is not a, you know, blockbuster movie or whatever. So yeah, it's like if you're just like don't really care. The more you see that shit, you're like, this, just shut the fuck up about it.
Sandler wants that Oscar. That's what it is. He really wants it.
Well, it's just like so desperately that I really hope he loses. I don't want him.
He said if he loses, he's going to make the worst movie he could possibly, which, boy, that would be quite the feat.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to go to Joe Pesci, hopefully.
You think?
Yeah. For Irishman.
He gets a Lifetime Achievement Award for Home Alone.
Why not, right? He should. Sure. He's great in that movie. Yeah. So the Marie Kondo thing, again, long gone. we miss it.
They haven't done another season of her.
Oh, I'm sure that'll pop up. Yeah, so that's over with. It was a week of stuff. The next week was replaced with something else. And that's why what's so great about a show like this is we can catalog these great takes that are just utterly meaningless days later.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Well, in that same fleeting moment of infamy, this tweet, I remember very vividly you reading this as a dissonant chief.
This might be the third time
this has come up.
This is a classic, big. Oh yeah.
All right. So Zenny Jardine, who goes by @Zenny on Twitter, is a big fan of Nancy Pelosi, and I mean, who isn't?
Yeah.
Right. And she tweeted this thread back in January. So it was a photo, and it's this Grand Theft Auto San Andreas gangsta font, and all it just said was Nancy fucking Pelosi, which is just so embarrassing. Uh-huh. So then, then it's the next thing is she responded to that with, y'all who are not from Los Angeles don't understand that what Nancy Pelosi is doing to Donald Trump is she is gangster checking him. Ask Snoop Dogg. He's failing. And then a guy named King Puke said, I'm from Los Angeles and I've never heard of this. To which Zenny responded, homie, what set you from? And to explain how this lady looks, she looks like an extra from like, remember the movie Cold Mountain? Like she looks like like a woman that would be.
Yeah.
She's very white with very thin straight hair. And I believe her avatar at the time was her in like some sort of Western.
Yeah, wear. Like a prairie woman out. Very odd. This lady,
homie, what? I'm like imagining like Renee Zellweger or the little girl from from True Grit. Homie, what set you from?
Yeah, that's the girl. Yeah, Haley Steinfeld. Whatever, remarkably pathetically embarrassing and so good. Yeah, I think that's the third time it's come up on the show. When it happened during one of our, what episode did we talk about that in? Oh man, I don't know, we mentioned it sometime. I don't know what episode that would be. We didn't do any homie episodes or Los Angeles.
Might have been the Trump one.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, it's been mentioned before. It's so fucking good. I'm sad to retire it for this year until we do an episode about Nancy Pelosi, our next president of the United States, by the way, once the Trump is kicked out.
Is that how that one works?
I think so, yeah. @GlitterGal kicked off the year with these tweets. PSA for 2019. Please stop faving and retweeting before and after photos of weight loss and putting it on the timeline. Okay. They're incredibly triggering for people in eating disorder recovery, and they frame the narrative that fat people are merely before photos. Stop putting that shit on my timeline. Okay. Before and after photos that promote the black and white idea of healthy versus unhealthy body or bad versus good body paint a dehumanizing narrative for fat people. If you retweet or fave these tweets that occasionally go viral, I'll assume you don't see fat people as fully human.
Ah, okay. So started off strong.
Yeah.
had a clear message there, and then just went. Really had to drive the point.
You don't see fat people as fully human.
Good God!
First of all, they should be called fully humans. Like that should be their that should be the PC term for them, right? Great example of making something about you when you just there's no reason to at all.
Yep.
And this now we're gonna do an episode about the fat acceptance movement. Here in the next couple months, I believe, sort of a sequel to the weight loss one we did. We touched a little bit on that. Certainly, there's something to be said for treating people of all shapes and sizes with equal dignity and all that.
Sure.
But then when you combine that thought with being online 24/7, you wind up with people like
you get
this,
a little your mess.
Who, who think that before and after photos are dehumanizing.
Instead of empowering?
Yeah. Like I'm trying to imagine and say, have this same sort of line of thinking with like trans people.
Yeah, that would be a, boy, that's dangerous. Yeah, that's
like,
a slippery slope.
Oh, you're posting what you look like now? That's, you're dehumanizing the, like, you're a woman, you used to be a man, so you're saying that men aren't valid? Wait, what?
You probably get some agreement on that.
I probably would. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to post the hell out of that. Do like a picture of me and then like that face app version of me.
the you with the Anton Sugar wig on.
Now that's hot.
Do you still have that? Of course. Yeah, I just wear it around the house.
Yeah.
So Sean in Arizona tweeted this out on January 9th.
Great. Early in the year.
I love my wife.
Uh-huh. Good
but
start.
But if we were on a desert island, I would make a raft. And if I only had room on that raft for either her or the only existing copy of the Mueller report, I would make sure to let her know that I would come back for her because I love my wife.
Remember the Mueller report, everybody? That yeah. thing that...
For 2 weeks, everybody...
Like, the build-up to that was insane, and then it, to use a word that you use all the time, it was a big nothing burger.
I never... Get the hell out. Fuck you.
I believe when it released, you said, that happened. Am I
yeah,
wrong?
That's right, yeah. with a gif of a black woman snapping her fingers. Yep. That's right. That's me.
Nikki Nix posted a couple pictures of actor Liam Neeson with piss-stained pants.
Mm, sounds hot.
And said, never forget that Liam Neeson pisses himself in public.
Yeah, I remember this. This is because he said some... Yeah. Unsavory stuff yeah. during an interview.
Oh, God. What the? He said something like. He
said that he like, basically, like, yeah, I used to be racist.
Yeah, but he fantasized about just.
Stomping a black guy.
Going outside beating up a black person after some incident happened, and he was, like, so pissed off about it. That was a great example of. You can just see the journalist being like, can we get back? To talk about the movie we were discussing, like, just when Liam just like, I decided to go outside and just beat up a random black guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, after the pisses himself in public pictures, user What the Plucked took issue with that. Said, I piss myself in public because of my disability. Liam is an unrepentant racist and sexist, which has nothing to do with you using ableism to own him. Great.
Yeah.
Make it about yourself, What yep. the Plucked.
Yep.
Also,
again, I mean, whatever. glass yeah. houses. Sure. So I shouldn't. I can't.
That's true, yeah. You do to yourself in public, I believe. Okay. Yeah.
So this was submitted by our patron, Pavel M. Thank you, Pavel. This is from at Katrachiki.
Katra Chitochiki.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
So this is a tweet. All this time, we grew up ashamed of our elders who couldn't read, colonizing them even further with our white ideologies. Written language really is the master's tool to ecocide.
Ecocide.
Yeah. I know why I don't like Marxists. It's because it's all abstract thinking, discussing, and fighting over literally nothing but words. What are you saying?
That's a big one.
What are you saying?
Yeah, well, it's not a very coherent thought because they're not. I mean, they're not big readers, apparently. Yeah, that's a good one. The idea that reading ultimately is some sort of colonial thing, right?
Wow,
is that what we're getting at here? There's like an imperialist bias to reading. Yeah.
God, that's like...
It's similar to that anti-measurements person.
Yes,
remember?
Yeah.
That might even be on them. Somewhere on here, probably. Yeah, really good take there. Thanks, Pavel, for that one. Just, you don't... It's okay that we read. Reading's good. We've figured out a way to pass on... Some of the most amazing things in the world,
knowledge. But it's so funny putting that into a format where people have to read it.
Yeah, also good. Well, there's no spoken word version of Twitter, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay.
This is from user Wes Bappin, who's another one of these guys I see online mentioned who I don't quite know what
they
are.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, yeah.
I think, this year, while I've posted a lot this year on Twitter. I've removed myself from some of the more insular things, and I've tried to avoid a lot of those sort. When it starts like involving users who I don't follow, but keep people talk about a lot, and they don't follow me or anyone I know, I just can't deal with it anymore. And they're not like blue check mark, stupid journalists, whatever. So Wes Bappin said, if you're not willing to wage nuclear war against fascists, then you're not an anti-fascist.
Boom. Mic drop. Atom bomb drop.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to wage nuclear war.
So you have to be willing to kill millions of people? Hundreds of thousands of people?
To be an anti-fascist.
Yep.
Circular logic, it seems, but...
Yeah. The idea is like, it's just like, I'm more anti-fascist than you are. Oh, you think you're Antifa? Wait, you see me, bud. Yeah, well, get a load of me, pal.
Just you, yeah.
Yeah.
Pulling out like the fucking... like Yosemite Sam guns out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the bazookas and the cannons.
Yeah. Very, very Looney Tunes style. Yeah, that's... again, I think this is somebody who doesn't quite understand what they're saying. They just know some words. And
sure, yeah. Well, I mean, that's most of Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, well, sure. Mm-hmm. I can relate to that mm-hmm. for sure. A lady named Janice Fiamengo, who's from the UK, posted this. Technology is inherently masculine. I know. I can feel it. Every time I flip a light switch, I get a little weak in the knees and I whisper to myself, thank you, man.
That stinks.
And I'd like to point out that mm-hmm. she was being 100% sincere
oh, yeah.
with this. This is not a... This sounds very... very ironic. That's why it's
so good. This lady is... she's one of these, like... These pro-masculine women...
Really weird.
Pro men's rights women who's very. Yeah. I mean, well, clearly she's very pro masculine. The idea that. I've never once. There's never been one light switch I ever flicked and was like, oh, yeah. Just felt burly. You feel it. Like, of all the things. So many things that men are responsible for. Are actually manly in some way.
You probably felt more manly like flushing the toilet, like after
that. Shit, absolutely, right? Yeah. She should have said that. Like, took a massive dump, flushed that toilet, and it clogged a little bit.
Thank
and
you.
And finally,
man.
Went down. Yeah, light switch. One of the pussiest things on the planet.
Inherently masculine. Technology is inherently masculine. Now, how come in all the science fiction shows, there all the computers have a lady's voice? Riddle me that one.
Wow, that's extremely deep. You should go to respond to her with that.
Her 11-month-old tweet.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this, and you're right. A guy called Super Metroid Idol on Twitter said this. Bad sign. Twitter will never be ready for this conversation, but being capable of feeling attracted to girls who are like 16, 17 is not pedophilia. In fact, it's literally normal. And calling that pedophilia is dangerous and actively minimizes serious mental illness and child abuse.
How's that one? How's that?
He is right that Twitter will never be ready for that. And why are you trying to start it now? You just said they're not ready for it, so accept that and move on.
It's literally
so
normal.
Many of these guys have some sort of video game in their handle, right?
Or... Star Wars character,
yep.
In certain cases, if you know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
Lights.
Well, you tweeted about that gentleman today, in fact.
Yeah.
Gentleman? Maybe not anymore, right?
You know what?
We'll save
that for a later
we
episode.
We have an episode coming up here real soon that deals with Twitter more in depth. Wow, it's going to be Twitter heavy a couple weeks here. Hope you guys like that shit.
They have to. They follow us. So a gal named Jay Brinney said this on Twitter. I swear fentanyl ain't that strong to be killing people. That shit is mid and I said what I said. Straight up.
Homie, what set you from?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Imagine Zenny fentanyl doing that. Fentanyl. Yeah. Yeah, that's that's good.
That is, that is a take that you know, there's probably more like that out there. There has to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of people are doing that and other similar things. So the takes out there that we like, there's a world of takes out there that we don't know anything about, and that's what I'm sad about. Like the idea that there's a whole world of people talking about things that we don't know anything about, and they're just as stupid about it. Yeah. we don't even see them.
Really good.
Yeah, maybe we'll do just a whole drug episode. All right, so this was a fun one. Listener Ajol Taylor sent this one in. Thanks, AJT. So it was an open letter from Bevan, the person who produced the Fat Mermaid / Merfolk / Sea Creatures Creation Camp in Alachua, Florida.
Okay.
So that event sounds really cool. Sad we couldn't go to that. Oh my god, next year we should go and do a podcast there.
A fat mermaid camp?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she got a bit of a backlash on the event from some of the attendees. Here's what she said in her open letter. I tried to do something that I didn't fully know how to do, and that came at the expense of the participants, the people I employed at the camp,
oof,
my collaborators outside of the event, my audience of kindred spirits who believe in me and my career. I'm very sorry for the harm that I have caused, and I'll do my best to name that harm in this letter and to be accountable.
Okay.
So she went on. I understand now that folks need and want a schedule, even if that schedule is on a whiteboard in a central location and can get moved around. Not having a schedule is stressful for folks and creates a power dynamic around who has information and who doesn't. It decreases agency for the folks in attendance and decreases accessibility. Folks don't understand what's happening, and thus it becomes harder for them to center their self-care. Not having a printed schedule centralized me as the person with the decision-making over how we should be spending our time in reduced autonomy for the participants and staff.
Okay.
Kept going on. Many of the participants found the house that I rented on Airbnb to host the camp inadequate. The staircase was old and steep. The toilets were inadequate for super fat folks. There wasn't enough comfortable furniture, and some of the beds were inadequate. In my own white privilege, I thought that because the house listing on Airbnb said that it was built in 1860. Okay. That's good. In my own white privilege, I thought that because the house listing on Airbnb said that it was built in 1865, that it wasn't a plantation house.
Okay.
Now that I understand more of the history of the era and of Central Florida, I understand that it being built after abolition doesn't mean that it is without a horrific history of slavery. Okay. I am incredibly sorry for inviting anyone, but especially black folks, to a former plantation for what I hoped was a creative camp experience. As a result of the feedback I received, within 3 days of the closing of this event, I ceased production on any future Fat Kid Dance Party camps and retreats.
What the fuck's with the name?
I did this so that I could fully understand the feedback and audit the harm caused from this camp. I do not wish to perpetuate any further harm. I offered refunds on a payment plan to anyone who paid to attend the camp who felt they wanted one. After I made this offer, several of the attendees created PayPal claims and credit card chargebacks, which resulted in a negative several $1,000 balance on my PayPal account.
Wow.
I am now driving for Lyft in a rental car.
Wow.
I say this not to center myself, but to let folks know that I'm not a person of means, nor do I come from means, and thereby explain why the refunds aren't yet fully paid. I have applied for business loans and been denied, asked for personal loans from friends, and so far have no luck finding this. I am trying to dig out of this financial hole.
God damn. Gonna put this camp.
Oh boy.
Gonna put a camp together. Never done this before. Also, okay. Putting camp together for inclusive, for supposed to be inclusive, and referring to people as super fat.
That
in your apology letter.
Well, that's a normal. That's a normal phrase in the fat acceptance movement.
Is it?
Yes.
God,
yeah, I know.
Damn.
It sounds horrible when you just read it out of context. But yeah, that's something that super fat, like 600 pound plus people call themselves that in this community.
Okay.
But this is one of those where you're kind of asking for trouble if you're doing an event for these kind of people, the people yeah. who whose main hobby is tattling. Like, you can't possibly
expect it, yeah.
You can't make them happy. So people that are pissed off that you rented out this wildly expensive Airbnb plantation house, it's probably beautiful, but someone's like, well, I could probably get a refund if I complain about it. You know, it being built years, you know, after slavery ended. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, you have to realize if you're part of that community and you're that kind of person, that those kind of people are not going to be happy with you no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And man, that end part about thousands of dollars of chargebacks. So you either A, didn't have the money to do this to begin with, and
I believe that's the case. Yeah.
Shoo.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And you're now driving a rental car for Lyft? That's weird.
Yeah, can you do that? That doesn't seem like something you should be able to do.
And how much, like, that doesn't seem like,
yeah,
that
seems how like are you pennywise breaking, and you're breaking even on that one? Come on.
Like, what's the cheapest a day you're doing for, that's so good.
Just accidentally making a lot of left turns to crank up the, ooh, sorry.
Yeah, I think that's why we should go to the next one. Which there will be one, because she's going to have to get out of this hole. And then we should come up with the most elaborate complaints that we can. It's like,
this place is definitely haunted. I feel a spirit, and I'm going to need somebody here to.
Yeah, there wasn't an Ouija board on site for me to contact.
I need spirits to sage this entire house. God damn. All right. So Twitter user Mappy Maid, who had a classic anime girl avatar.
Sure.
Whose account has since been suspended, tweeted this out.
Now, why was it suspended? Probably something to do with this post, right?
I want to turn into a child and kiss a pedophile. I want to fuck a pedophile. I want to make a pedophile feel valid and loved. And then posted just a big string of heart emojis. Yikes. That's a yikes.
That's about as bad a post as you can make online. Yeah.
I don't want to pigeonhole folks out there, but when you see somebody with an anime avatar,
something like
I'm
that,
I'm going to say 9 you. Times out of 10 you're going to be getting.
This person isn't technically a pedophile. They just want to kiss a pedophile.
They want to be the subject to a pedophile. They want to turn, well, first, they got to turn into a kid first.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just
normal. Yeah, you're just legal. Like a weird guy.
Yeah.
Cool. This one's from Stefan Molyneux, who's, I believe, well, actually kind of on the same topic as that last one. I can't believe Taylor Swift is about to turn 30. She still looks so young. It's strange to think that 90% of her eggs are already gone. 97 by the time she turns 40. So I hope she thinks about having kids before it's too late. She'd be a fun mom. A little smiley face after that classic colon parenthesis smiley face too.
Yeah, not even the emoji, just the...
Yeah. I'd like to know why he thinks she'd be a fun mom. I think that's a topic worth discussing with him.
Because she's a pop star?
I guess so.
I mean,
yeah, but you would think someone like this would be against someone like Taylor Swift in general, just the very idea of them.
Yeah, but there's some creepy. There's some creepy.
Yeah, I still don't really know what this guy is, but every time I see his name pop up, I'm expecting the worst.
And
so far, it's been pretty much the worst. Yeah.
All right, well, we're to our last post.
Great.
For this episode, for our worst post of 2019, bonus episode here. So, and it's a doozy. So, after Kamala Harris dropped out of the race, a friend of pedophiles Hillary Clinton tweeted this. To all the candidate staff and volunteers who have worked their hearts out for presidential campaigns that have ended, remember that fighting for what you believe in is always worth it. Mm-hmm. And comedian Greg Proops, who you probably would best be known from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yep.
God damn. Responded with, thank you, Madam President. Really just sick shit. Just really so grim.
Yeah. As a former fan of Proops and a couple other, like, Proops is a LA comic who had a podcast that was helped me in the early 2010s, like, enjoy podcasts and all that.
Sure.
And almost all those guys are now like that now.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but they all became serious, like, resistance, Russia gate, like, Jen Kirkman.
Yeah, they all, like, had,
they're all in that same circle.
Some sort of, like, major, again, it was all, Jen Kirkman was a little before 2016, but a lot of these folks had their,
but they all had the same brain neuron disease that she has.
Yeah,
she,
they all had, they ate some bad beef all together at some,
she, like, she 28 days later than where she was the,
she was
the monkey zero. That was, and then she infected all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's,
it became a thing where, like, comics who, I don't know, seeing the writing on the wall where they're like, okay, maybe I'm not as funny as I used to be, so I'm going to become, like, serious.
Yeah, but that's so, like, that's such a weird,
these are, like, privileged white people.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's a different kind of privilege, though, right? Because it used to be, like, everybody liked me because I'm funny, but, like, now it's like, maybe I can be a deep guy. A lot of people on Twitter do that, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Where they do the,
I mean, that's normal. It's like, I like, things are important right now, so I'm going to address them from an important point of view. You know, it's like, I can't, you know, the idea of just being funny, they feel like that's, I think it really is just like, I've been a comedian my whole life and I never really got anything out of it, so maybe being funny isn't what it's cracked up to be. So
that has to be,
yeah, like, I think it is a lot of, like, realizing that they don't matter. So, like, I have to do something that matters. Yeah. But what does matter is this podcast, which is...
yeah, absolutely.
I can't wait for, like, year five of doing this fucking thing. I mean, it's just going to be...
Sorry?
Yeah, I know.
Saw my face.
Like, by that point, we're just going to be ultra serious, just like...
We're going to hire some guy to run a script to just go out and just...
Well,
sweep.
Trump's entering his third term, and we're like being like this, like the resistance part two, part three or four. Like, we're like seriously into it. Like, Mr. Trump, this injustice will not stand. You appointed 16 new Supreme Court, you know, judges. They're all, you know, 31-year-old conservatives, and they're now, abortion is illegal and women are illegal. And women have been outlawed.
It's 2022. Women have been out.
Yeah.
Fucking, like,
and we're just doing a podcast like, this isn't good. Pay attention, you know.
Oh, God.
I can't wait. Oh, we'll be long dead by then.
What's that? 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed these worst posts of 2019. We did almost 2 hours of this shit between this one and the main up. 2020 is going to be a fun year. Patreon especially, we have big plans to continue doing it. I'm sure we'll have some more fun stuff. We have a pretty much almost the whole year planned out as far as our main topics, which is crazy to think about. But, you know, last week we did that Santa episode, a little short, report this short. It's something we're going to do, keep doing. I think we'll have fun with that every once in a while. Just throw up a fun bonus that we said, what the fuck? We might go to drive in again, see another.
Yeah, there's some stuff coming out.
Wacky movie on the big screen. We talked about doing it for Star Wars, but then we just haven't done that. So,
well, it's just timing wise, it's tough.
And who, like, there's been enough takes about that at this point, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
People don't seem to like it.
I'd probably like it. You know who doesn't like it? Jack Allison. He sure doesn't like it.
Good fucking God.
Boy. Talk about online. Mama mia.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point every time I see his face pop up, I'm like, okay, so what Star Wars take is he going to have now? And then, like, today someone said something like, can you please stop talking about Star Wars? And then that sent him on a 25.
Well, then he went back and found a tweet where they, like, mentioned Star Wars. And he's like, funny.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Oh, my God. I don't really understand that. I don't understand that. Like, but I'm also sort of conflicted because I enjoy people shitting on a Star Wars movie, so...
Yeah, it is that fine line.
But, yeah, there is a... Feel free to balance it with other stuff, too. Good God. All right, anyone, that's a fun digression. Boy, 2020 is going to be fun. Thanks for being a patron, everybody. Tell your friends and family. Hop on board. Or, I don't know, just hack some PayPal accounts or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Bye, everybody.